أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على ثم الصلاة والسلام على آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين اتقوا إذا مسهم طائف من الشيطان تذكروا فإذا هم مبصرون صلوات على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى We continue with our discussion on the root cause of negative suffering. And last night we stopped our discussion on the subject of shaitan. And we said that from the time that a human being is born and as a human being grows and senses a sense of identity, shaitan realizes that if he can convince this human being that he is not the awareness behind the mind, but rather he is the voice in the head, and if this human being learns to be spiritually unconscious and to completely believe all the thoughts that his mind produces, then he can help or encourage this human mind to project an identity that is not real. And because it is not real, the mind will keep using different techniques to try and sustain and keep this illusion alive, which we call the ego. And then there are two things that happen. The mind, because it is childlike, it will use different methods to try and keep this ego alive, because it believes if the ego dies, it will die. And the methods that it uses to stay alive are actually methods that bring about unhappiness, what we call negative suffering, such as resentment and blaming and criticizing and arguing and worry and stress and so on and so forth. So from the human mind's perspective, it is childlike. It does not realize that these are not solving problems, these are creating problems. But from shaitan's perspective, this is good, this is perfect, because shaitan has the ability to use a man's thoughts and basically flow in a man like blood flows in the veins of a man, and use then and project thoughts that the human being thinks are his, but they are actually shaitan's. The result of this is that while the mind thinks it is solving problems, this creature that we call shaitan, that feeds on unhappiness and suffering, gets a constant supply of nourishment from this human being. Now, before we continue on that discussion, we have started looking at ayats of Quran to prove that when shaitan comes to a person, he comes at the level of thought. You will come across many traditions in Islam where shaitan appears in physical form. And we need to explain how this works. Just to give you a few examples. There are narrations that you might find in Muslim books that says that when a person or a Muslim is listening to someone preach, shaitan or one of the children of shaitan brings a form of kohl that he puts on the eye of the person, and the person becomes drowsy and sleepy so that he does not pay attention to what is being said, so that he remains heedless of that hidayah, of that guidance. And then there is a form of a narration to say that when a person is praying and he yawns, then shaitan enters his mouth, for example, and then the person becomes interested in the world and he starts thinking of dunya and so on and so forth. Or, for example, you will see narrations that when a person is asleep and it is time for fajr, shaitan tries to keep the person asleep and he uses different techniques so that the person will not wake up for salat. For example, in one narration it says that shaitan urinates in the person's ears so that he does not wake up. Now, there are many, many narrations like these. It is important to understand that there is a world that we considered the real unseen world, in which things play out in a physical sense. If you recall some previous series of lectures that we had talked about, Tajassum al-A'mal, how our actions in this world take a physical form and a reality in another world. And that physical reality is our reward or our punishment in Akhirah. So in that world, yes, shaitan may be doing this in a physical sense. But when it translates and comes to this realm, which is limited, it comes as a thought. It does not come as a physical reality. So that example that I gave you of Sheikh Murtaza Ansari, you see that in that world, shaitan was using chains. But in this world, it was a thought on whether he should take money from what he had as khums and so on. Okay. It is important, therefore, to realize that shaitan does not have the ability to physically impose himself on anyone in this world. Because if you go by that theory, then there is a couple of issues that are raised. First of all, the issue of free will goes away. Because then now it means you do not have the free will to act, because shaitan can force you to act. Secondly, because shaitan does not love the children of Adam, and he wants to mislead them at every opportunity, then the question would arise as to why sometimes he misleads you and sometimes he does not. If he was able to physically force you, for example, not to wake up for Salatul Fajr, then he would have been able to do that, and he would do that with everyone and every day. But the fact that it does not happen with everyone and every day proves that he cannot actually impose himself physically in this world. And so, if we go by the idea that he has a physical influence, what that would do is it would shift the blame from shaitan, from us to shaitan, because then we could have said, well, it wasn't me, it was shaitan who forced me not to pray. And so the responsibility and the accountability remains with us. If we remain heedless or do not remain aware and believe the voice in our head and completely are taken in by the thoughts that come from shaitan, then that is our problem and we are accountable for that. But when it comes, it will come always as a thought. There is one thing. The other thing that we want to mention also is that there are incidents where shaitan comes as a person in a physical form and has a conversation. If you look at those narrations, you will find that those incidents happen with someone or in the presence of someone who is highly, highly spiritual. For example, he will come in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And he will have a conversation. Or a conversation with the Prophet Sulaiman or the Prophet Dawood or someone very highly spiritual. This is in the physical, actual sense, like walking into the room and having that conversation. Which therefore means that a person who is very spiritual may have the ability to bridge the two realms and the two worlds and bring something from the other world into this world. And this is not uncommon in Islamic texts. Even on the issue of Tajassum al-A'mal, where we talk about the actions you perform here translate to a physical reality there, we have those narrations in both Shia and Sunni texts. Consider, for example, the ayat of Quran that says that do not backbite your Muslim brother, because when you do that, it is like eating the dead flesh of your brother. There is an ayat of Quran that says that. We have an incident from our Sunni brothers that one of the wives of the Prophet was one day backbiting. And after she had backbited, she had said something very small about someone else. The Messenger of Allah, peace be on him and his family, said to her, take out that thing which is between your teeth. And when she put her hand in her mouth, a piece of flesh came out from her between her teeth. This is narrated in Islamic books. So a person who is highly spiritual, sometimes to create a lesson or to bring about an awakening, he can bridge the two worlds and show evidence that whatever you do here translates to a physical reality in the other world, as well whatever shaitan or the angels do in the other world has an impact to our world here. But because we are limited to the five senses, and many of us may not be of a spiritual level where we see the real world without the veils, it comes across to us in the form of dreams or thoughts and so on and so forth. Okay? So thoughts gives shaitan a perfect camouflage. He's able to disguise himself as the person himself, as the thought in the head, and the person then has no idea, unless he's alert, he does not have an idea that this is actually coming to me from shaitan. So, we continue then from there. We have another ayat of Quran that proves this point further. In Surah Ibrahim, which is chapter 14, verse 22, Allah talks about the day of judgment when Allah will cause shaitan and the people of the fire of hell to enter into the fire of hell. And these people will blame shaitan and say, because of you, we have ended up in the fire of hell. Now Allah is telling us what shaitan will say in response to these people who blame him. And the verse is a little longer, but towards the end of the verse, shaitan says to them, وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانِ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. And I did not have any control and any authority over you, except that I called you and you came to me. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. So do not blame me, but blame your own selves. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is quoting shaitan, when you think about it, it proves that Allah agrees with shaitan on this. That his argument is valid. Because if his argument was not valid, then there would have been another verse following that to say that he is lying. And that in fact, he is to blame. But the fact that the verse says that it doesn't elaborate on that, it means Allah agrees with shaitan here. That I had no authority over you, except that I called you and you came to me. So do not blame me, but blame yourselves. In other words, insan has to blame himself for allowing himself to be in heedlessness or in ghafla and not staying present and focused so that when a thought of shaitan visits him, he does not immediately realize what is happening. Okay, so this is additional evidence that he comes only as thought. And then we have another ayah of Quran which says, وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And shaitan decorates for them that which they have done. On the night that we had the question-answer session here, our brother, Dr. Abu Mustafa, he did a very good interpretation of this ayah of Quran and explained it very well for those who are present. That shaitan then acts as a salesman, as a broker. His task is only to say, here is this insan who is asleep, who is spiritually unconscious, who believes every thought that comes to his mind. Here is a temptation. He puts thoughts in the mind of this man so that the man thinks it is his own thoughts. And with those thoughts, he makes that temptation look appealing, even though in its reality it may not be so. And so the verse of the Quran says, وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ. Zayyana, you know, from zina, from beautiful, from adornment. So shaitan makes it beautiful for them, what their actions and what they do. And therefore it appears to be appealing to them. The other approach that shaitan uses is fear. Because what we have said so far is that shaitan has played a role in the creation of this false structure, this illusion of a self or an I-ness that isn't the real me. And the mind thinks this is me, and if this dissolves, I will die. So it is in fear of this diminishing or dying or dissolving, because to it, it thinks this is death. And so it is driven now by fear, and every tactic, blaming, accusing, fighting, shouting, arguing, resentment, worry, stress, is directed towards the fear of death. Not real death, but death of the ego, which the mind thinks is real death. Unless the person wakes up and realizes that when I lose my I-ness, I do not die, I become alive, because I surrender and Allah takes over. So the operating word here is fear of death. And because shaitan knows that now I have convinced this person who is asleep and I've worked through his mind that you cannot afford to lose this ego, all I need to do now is make him think that my thoughts are his thoughts, and while he thinks he is solving problems, he is feeding me with pain and suffering. And now the Quran testifies to this, that shaitan works through fear. It says in Surah Al-Baqarah, which is chapter 2, verse 268, الشيطان يعدكم الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء. It is shaitan who threatens you with fear and he commands you to actions that are shameless, that are evil, that are unchaste. وَاللَّهُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ مِنْهُ وَفَضْلًا وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. And it is Allah who promises you forgiveness, and He promises you ampleness and abundance and grace from His side, and He is ample giving and knowing. So that constant worry, do I have enough money for my retirement? Have I saved enough? I need 1 million. No, I need 2 million. No, I might fall sick when I grow old. I need 10 million. That is from shaitan, that fear that who will look after me. It is not to say that you don't save for a rainy day or for your retirement. It is to say that if your true self feels more comfortable in knowing you have saved money in your retirement rather in that Allah is there for you, then that is a form of shirk. Because now you rely more on your wealth rather than on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so shaitan uses fear to use this person. And it is interesting to see that this fear is in the nature of man, and towards the end when we talk about raising children without egos, we shall talk about this idea of fear again, and how it relates to primordial man, which is Adam alayhi salam. But go back and look at the Quran, and see the verses that deal with Adam and Hawa alayhi salam, and how shaitan takes them out of Jannah. What is it that shaitan really tells them? If you look at the verses of Quran, you will see that Allah says to Adam, abide in this garden, you and your wife. You shall not have to worry about heat or cold. And you shall not have to worry about your sustenance. You don't have to worry about food, accommodation, weather. What else do you need? The only thing is, do not eat from this tree. When shaitan comes to them, he uses the fear of death. He says to them, shall I show you a tree from which if you eat, you shall become immortals? You shall never die. And we shall talk about this a little later on. So that shows that in human beings, there is this subtle knowledge that I am immortal, I do not die. And if at any point it begins to think I could die, then shaitan uses that fear of death. In our case, it is the fear of the death of the ego, which is not real. But it is nonetheless the fear of death. And so fear, fear, fear is what shaitan is constantly after. Allama Dastaghayb, for example, in his book, gives an anecdote about this. He says that it is well known amongst the scholars of Islam and the experts of akhlaq that whenever you want to give charity or whenever you want to donate some money, as soon as the good thought comes to you, which may be an inspiration from Allah or from an angelic being, give it swiftly and quickly before time elapses. The more time elapses, the less likely you are to give that money. Because that is shaitan's tool, fear. Fear of poverty. As we saw in the ayat of Quran, الشيطان يعيدكم الفقر. Shaitan threatens you with poverty. So if you are in the mosque tonight, and we talk about a good cause that needs donation, you might make an intention right now, I'm going to give $200. If you don't give the $200 and you go home, when you walk tomorrow in, you will think, maybe I'll give 100. For sure. If you wait the third day, you will say 50. On the fourth day, you will not give a penny. And you can experiment this for yourself. And Allama Dastaghayb mentions an incident. He says there was a man who was sitting in the mosque and he heard a khatib talk about this. He said, what is this nonsense? I can decide right now I'm going to give money and I'll give. Shaitan cannot stop me. So his friend said, you never know, it might be true. He said, no, I'll prove it. I'll go home right now and get some money. So he goes home. He goes home to get his money, and his wife says, where are you taking our savings? And he says, well, the Maulana said very good to donate and give money to charity, so I'm going to give some. And she began saying, but you have children, you have to think about your future. I'm not saying you shouldn't give, but you should still consider. I mean, you can always give later on, and you know, this and that. And he finally gives up and he's convinced, so he doesn't give any money. He goes back. And he goes and sits beside his friend. His friend says, what happened? Did you meet shaitan? He said, I didn't meet shaitan, but I met the mother of shaitan. So, Allama Dastaghayb narrates this incident. And this is not, you know, not meant to be, you know, a joke against a gender. It could be the other way. Oftentimes, I have met couples where the man is stingy and the wife is generous. Okay, so... But again, we see shaitan comes. When he comes at the level of thought. And so Allah tells us in Surah Al-Ankabut, وَقُلْ رَبِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ هَمَزَاتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ And say, Lord, I seek refuge with you from the evil suggestions of shayateen, of the devils. Again, notice suggestions, evil suggestions. This is how shaitan comes. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ رَبِّي أَنْ يَحْضُرُونَ And I seek refuge with you, O Lord, from their presence. So shayateen are all around us, and they will look for opportunities. On one hand, they appear to be very strong, but on the other hand, they are very weak, because they can only come at the level of thought. When we are spiritually unconscious, they are extremely dangerous. But when we are alert and present and focused on Allah, then they are extremely harmless and weak. Okay. And another ayah of Quran from Surah Al-A'raf, Allah says, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ If a suggestion from shaitan comes to your mind and assails your mind, then seek refuge with Allah, for surely He is hearing and He is knowing. And so this is what ta'awudh is. That as soon as you think this is an evil thought, this is a sinful thought, instead of entertaining it and encouraging it, which then means that you are identifying with the mind and unconscious, you become present and you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, which is ta'awudh. Okay? And then the following verse is the verse that is our theme that we have been reading at the start of every lecture. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ Indeed, those who are Allah conscious, those who are conscious of Allah at all times, when a thought comes to them from shaitan, they immediately remember, they are reminded of Allah, and then they see correctly. So our task is to hold that presence, that alertness. And shaitan knows this. When Allah created Adam, and shaitan was jealous of Adam and his progeny, he realized that there was something about this creation, that the other creatures do not have intellect and mind. And this tool, the mind, is what will distinguish this creation and make them ashraful makhlukat. It will make them the most superior creation. It will give them the ability to dominate over all of God's creation. But then he realizes there is a weakness to this tool. It generates a lot of thought, and there is an ability for this human being to forget his real identity and to completely identify with the mind. So if I can project a false idea of I-ness and convince this person who is unconscious that he is the I, which is not real, then he will continue using methods that I tell him, thinking he is solving problems, when in fact he will be creating unhappiness and suffering for himself and for those around him, which will help my purpose, and that is to destroy Adam and his progeny. And so realizing that he has this loophole, he swears to Allah. He says in chapter 38, قَالَ فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ Now he, even though he's been cursed by Allah, he is swearing by Allah's name. He says, I swear by your might, O Allah, I will mislead every single one of them from the children of Adam. Every single one of them, I will take them with me. إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ Except those of your servants amongst them who are sincere. Now, shaitan has an extreme hatred for the children of Adam. It is said that if he could come to you in a physical form and you are standing on the edge of a cliff, without a thought he will push you over. He has a deep, that hatred that and jealousy he had for Adam, he has the same hatred for every one of you. And he will spare nothing. He will show no mercy at destroying every single son and daughter of Adam. He is not being nice by saying, I will leave those sincere servants of yours. No, he is admitting defeat. He is saying, there are some that I will not be able to mislead. So all we need to prove is that the mukhlaseen are those who are above thought. That is why shaitan cannot get to them. And we can prove that with a tradition or a hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Look at this hadith from Al-Kafi. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, he says, طُوبَ لِمَنْ أَخْلَصَ لِلَّهِ الْعِبَادَةِ وَالدُّعَى Same word, أَخْلَصَ, from مُخْلَصِين, which shaitan says, I will not be able to mislead them. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, blessed are those who are sincerely devoted to their worship and their supplications. This doesn't mean that they only stay in the mosque. But when they pray and worship, this is very important to them. They are dedicated. They have ikhlas. وَلَمْ يَشْغُلْ قَلْبَهُ بِمَا تَرَى عَيْنَاهُ وَلَا يَنْسَى ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ بِمَا سَمِعَ أُذُنَاهُ وَلَا يَحْزُنْ صَدْرَهُ بِمَا أُعْطِيَ غَيْرَهُ. And his heart is not occupied with that with which he, and his heart is not occupied with what his eyes see. Blessed is he who is sincerely devoted to Allah with worship and supplications, and his heart is not distracted with what his eyes see, and he does not forget the remembrance of Allah because of what his ears hear, and he is not grieved in his heart with what others have been given. This shows that a mukhlis is one who is able to hear, to see, to talk, to perform, to live, without being distracted from the dhikr of Allah, and whilst remaining sincerely devoted to ibadah. And so if you take this idea of ikhlas, of one who is totally focused on Allah, you understand what shaitan means when he says, I will mislead every single one of them, illa ibadaka minhumul mukhlasin, except those amongst you who are, amongst your servants who are sincere. And so shaitan will use anything. He will even use religion to mislead a person. Remember the whole discussion where we had, if you argue for religion, but it is because I am saying so, believe me, then it is not for religion, it is for your ego. Again, Allama Dastaghib in his book Al-Isti'adha, he says, there was a man who once saw shaitan, again in a vision or in a dream, and he said to him, just you wait, your day is coming now. There is this great alim in town, he's writing a whole book on how to defeat shaitan. And he's going to reveal all your secrets and how to catch you and how not to be fooled by you. And Allama Dastaghib says, shaitan laughs and says, actually I'm the one who suggested to him to write the book. And the man says, what do you mean? He says, because he was a very humble man. It is I who told him, you have so much knowledge and people don't know how to fight shaitan. Why don't you write a book? And then people will praise you. And people will say, what, how much knowledge you have. So he's writing it because I'm telling him to write. And that book will not have an effect on anybody's heart because it is not for Allah. It is for me. So shaitan can actually use you to apparently fight him, but it is in his service. And we shall see more of this. He complains, Allama Dastaghib, he talks about one of our great Shia alims called Ibn Tawus. Ibn Tawus was a collector of traditions, du'as and supplications. And it is said that he met Imam Al-Hujjah alayhi salam many, many times as well. Very, very learned man. And all our du'as and ziyarats and amals, they actually come from the one of the earliest sources is Ibn Tawus. Even Sheikh Abbas Kumi, his Mafatihul Jinan, all the du'as he collected and all, he takes it from the books of Ibn Tawus. For example, his Iqbalul Amal and so on, in which he collected all these du'as. Allama Dastaghib says, Ibn Tawus used to complain of the impact of shaitan in ways you cannot imagine. And Ibn Tawus, centuries ago, complains that there was a time when the baker who used to bake fresh bread for us, he would recite A'udhu Billah when he starts his day, and he would have Hadith al-Kisa being recited while he is kneading the dough and making the bread. And he says, today there is music being played while the baker is kneading the bread. And while he is kneading the bread, shaitan is getting into that bread as well. There is the influence, the subtle negativity, the vibes, the thoughts that go into that bread. And then you eat that bread. From a fiqh point of view, of course it is halal. But he says it has an impact on you as well. And so the more you read about this, the more you will see. And then he goes on to talk about how the favorite place of shaitan is the bazaar, which in our day now translates to the shopping mall. That is where shaitan is most active, the shopping mall. But it is beyond our scope and time to discuss that tonight. Now, whenever you feel negative or you display something negativity, there is something inside you that wants that negativity and that wants to feed in it and finds it pleasurable. What is it? It may be that your mind has projected an ego that thinks this will solve a problem, when in fact it creates unhappiness. But your mind should be able to see that this is causing unhappiness. But it does not see. That means there are times when you are possessed by something that enjoys the pain, that finds it pleasurable. What do you think this is except shaitan? And so we are told, if a person had come from another planet and had come to visit this world, one of the things that would amaze him is how millions of people will pay millions of dollars to go and watch how some human beings inflict pain and torture and kill other human beings in the name of entertainment. Thriller, action movie. What is that? That is something inside you that enjoys seeing some human beings inflicting pain on the others. What is it in you that loves to feel bad and then calls it good? It is obviously this shaitan that we need to be alert about it. And this drives our world. Look at the media as well, particularly the sensational newspapers. Here we don't have them so much, but if you've been to England, you've seen in the British tabloids. They're very big on this. Big 3-inch headlines. Outrage. Unbelievable. This, that. The worse the news, the bigger it is. When a country invades another country, when there is some chaos happening, when there is some hijacking happening, the reporters rush there, they're on the ground reporting. And the worse the events get, the more excited their voice gets, the more animated they get. Why? There is something in them. It is deeply unconscious people selling to deeply unconscious people. Have you ever seen these reporters as excited when they're giving you good news? It is only violence. It is only bad. It is only things like that drives it. And when human beings refuse to wake up, then they come together and then there is collective insanity, collective madness, which we have witnessed just in the last century. In 1914, human beings fought the First World War, which lasted until 1918. In those 4 years, human beings killed 10 million people, not counting those who are injured and handicapped and disabled for life. For the first time, human beings were shocked. They woke up to something they had never believed. No one could believe that human beings were capable of such insanity. It was as if something had possessed a large collection of people and was taking pleasure in destroying each other. During this First World War, and if you read about the history, it is amazing how the amount of harm human beings are capable of inflicting on each other. There was a time when France and Belgium fought. Millions of people died just to recover a few inches of mud, a few miles of mud, that nobody won in the end. And that was not the end, that was just the beginning. By the time the Second World War ended, and by the time the last century, the 20th century ended, which was just 7 years ago, when you look at the genocide, and you look at the extermination, and you look at the ethnic cleansing, and you look at the torture, human beings had killed 100 million of other human beings, just in one century. This is not counting before and not counting what's happening now. So this insanity, this possession by shaitan is not just going to harm you and me at an individual level, or you and your spouse, or this community, or this jamaat. No, it is a danger that will destroy mankind. Unless human beings collectively realize that they are not the real person, the voice in the head, and that they are capable of being possessed by something that is outside themselves. And then they wake up. And so everything you see, it may transcend all ethnicity, it may transcend all religions. Whether it is Abu Ghraib, whether it is Guantanamo Bay, whether it is the Jews of Israel bombing innocent people, or whether it is the Christian crusades of hundreds of years ago, when they came to Jerusalem, they passed through Muslim villages, and at one point, they burned some of the Muslim men alive, and then they ate their flesh in the name of Jesus. And the people who wrote the chronicles said they did not eat the flesh of the Muslim infidels out of hunger, but out of hatred for them. in the name of religion, or whether it is Muslims in the name of Al-Qaeda, or so-called Muslims, who will hold a man in front of a camera and chop his head off, and take pride that they are fighting for the truth. The same thing that we said, whether you say light is faster than sound, or believe me, light is faster than sound. If you don't believe me, then you are an enemy. And to prove I am right, I will kill you. When it is done in the name of religion, it is not for religion. It is for the ego. So now the atheist says, religion is evil. Religion is bad. Religion causes division. Religion causes intolerance. Religion causes war. It causes hostility. We should abolish religion. So you see now the game that Shaitan is playing. He first possesses the mind of the Muslim and the Christian and the Jew and the religious person, who acts out an act of violence, thinking he is fighting for the truth, when in fact he is fighting for his ego. And then he possesses the mind of the atheist, who criticizes religion and says this is God's fault. But on both sides it is the same Shaitan playing. If that religious person had been awake, he would have realized that religion has nothing to do with violence. And therefore the atheist would not have been able to say that religion is the cause of hatred and intolerance. And so Shaitan has a scheme and a plan in which he will use not only the irreligious, he will use the religious as well to fight his battles and to establish his identity. When we surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is no I-ness. When we say there is no I-ness, what we mean is now Shaitan does not have a vehicle to ride on. He does not have a driver's seat to operate from. So he cannot use us to cause harm to others or to feed on the suffering and negativity he wants. And so as a community and as individuals, if we strive for enlightenment and we reduce the influence of our egos and we stay present and alert, then we may not eliminate Shaitan, but we certainly reduce the number of vehicles he has by which he can cause harm within a family and then within a society and then within a country and a nation and within the human race. If you can recite a salawat, Allah Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. I do not wish to create this feeling that he is to be feared. As I said earlier, he is very weak. Weak because he can only come at the level of thought. But when we are unconscious, he is extremely dangerous. And when we look at the ahadith as well of the world to come, and Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam's reappearance, and he's establishing Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, and he's establishing of justice and peace and so on in the world, we are told he needs only 313 companions. And people keep saying, do we not have 313 great alims? Do we not have 313 maraji and mujtahids? No, he needs 313 enlightened, egoless people. This is the problem. And it is there in hadith that every one of his ashab will be from the urafa, those who know Allah, those who are surrendered to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, it is only when human beings, when that phenomenon of being surrendered to Allah is not an isolated incident where you read in history, Ibn Arabi was surrendered, or Mullah Sadra was surrendered, or Sheikh Rajab Ali Khayyat had surrendered to Allah. But when it becomes a phenomenon that is on a wide scale, and there are several individuals in each community, you will then see the time of the Imam's return coming closer and closer, because now human beings are spreading this idea of enlightenment, and the Imam is not to come where there is only one in a million people, but to come when societies and nations can live in that state of not being under the influence of Shaitan. I want to end with just a few suggestions on how to remove Shaitan's influence, so it gives me a logical place to stop, and then inshallah we continue from tomorrow. The first thing is that the moment you become aware that you are behaving in a manner that is not helpful, that is painful, that will cause suffering, or the moment you realize that you are being driven by the voice in the head, that awareness itself dissolves the ego at that point in time. And so you immediately find that your behavior or your reaction is being distasteful. That ayat of Quran, إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا. They immediately bring that to thought. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. They see, they realize that what I'm doing is distasteful. And so once you unmask Shaitan, He can no longer pretend to be you. Okay, it's not a big task to fight shaitan as long as we stay present and we stay with Allah. We should also be aware that every time we resist surrendering to Allah, we are allowing shaitan to feed on the thoughts that we produce and to use us to feed on the suffering and pain that we create. And we should then reflect on this, that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might ask us that all this tabligh you did, all this good you did, how much did you do for me? Did you pray for me? Or was it your ego praying? Was shaitan asking you to pray? Did you go for hajj for me? Did you do the ma'atam for Imam Hussein alayhi salam for me? When you gave charity, was it for me? If it was for me, then there would not have been a need for others to know about it. Because if others need to know about it, then there is something in me that wants to feel superior. So each one of us can judge his own self. And so in the midst of a negative reaction, if you can say to yourself, now I am creating suffering for myself, you will not identify with that. You will separate yourself from that depression or that unhappiness and immediately find that you have the power to change that. And so Allah again and again says in the Quran, فَاسْتَعِذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. This أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ needs to be said with consciousness. If we are asleep and the mind is saying it, then it is shaitan who is saying, I seek refuge with Allah from shaitan. It has to be said with consciousness and awareness so that we see that this thought is from shaitan. Now the other part I was going to discuss for the rest of the night was the raising of children and the influence on them and how to minimize that. But inshallah we leave that for tomorrow or day after when we have our last lecture in this series inshallah. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us remove all forms of negative suffering from our lives that are the forms that cause the illusion of separateness from Him. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with enlightenment so that we may understand who Allah is and who His Messenger is and the reality of Imam al-Hujjah alayhi salam. May Allah hasten His reappearance and make us from His ashab and ansar. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. Salawat ala Muhammad.